Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian DeBias. Now, as things heat up in the film industry this week, we're taking a look at a few hot Oscar contenders. David Jenkins, editor of Little White Lies magazine, joins me in studio to talk through Lenny Abrahamson's adaptation of critically acclaimed novel Room, Leonardo DiCaprio's harrowing struggle for survival in The Revenant, and we'll finish with Taiwanese film, The Assassin. That's all to come here on the Monocle Arts Review. Welcome to the show, David. Let's kick things off with our first film, Room, which tells the tale of a mother and child who attempt to escape the clutches of their abductor, who's kept them within the same four walls for many years. The child Jack is fathered by their captor and has never known life outside the room. The film is based on Emma Donoghue's best-selling 2010 novel of the same name, which tells a story through the eyes of the child. Now, David, how true is the film to the qualities and what made the book so exceptional, do you think?
Well, I'm ashamed to say off the bat that I haven't actually got around to reading the book yet, but if it's any consolation, I've enjoyed the film so much that I have bought the book and intend to read it. So I'm going to reverse engineer that one, if that's okay with you.
Before we start talking about the film itself, let's hear a clip of the film. This is a section when Joy sees her son Jack in the room as she tries to explain the world outside.
I was a little girl named Joy.
Nah.
And I lived in a house with my mom and my dad. You would call them Grandma and Grandpa.
What house?
A house. It was in the world.
TV house?
No, Jack, a real house, not TV. When I was a little older, when I was 17, I was walking home from school.
Where was I?
You were still up in heaven, but there was a guy, he pretended that his dog was sick.
What guy?
Old Nick. We call him Old Nick. I don't know what his real name is. But he pretended his dog was sick.
What's the dog's name?
Jack, there wasn't a dog. He was trying to trick me, okay? There wasn't a dog. Old Nick stole me.
I want a different story.
No, this is the story that you get. He put me in his garden shed. Here. Room is the shed.
That was a clip from the film Room. Now, this is one of the most talked about films of the year. What makes it so exceptional?
Well, as I think we heard in the clip there, I mean, we have these two actors, Brie Larson playing the mother and Jacob Tremblay playing the five-year-old son, Jack. And I think what's so exceptional about the film, just on a kind of superficial level, is the fact that the credibility of this mother-son relationship and how it's built up, and that you really feel that this isn't a kind of Hollywoodized version, over-sentimentalized version of a mother-son relationship. There's something quite credible and real about it. And it's not just kind of hugging and, you know, looking deep into one another's eyes, and that there being this kind of implicit kind of maternal bond and, you know, understanding about everything that goes on. There is a kind of, there's almost like a kind of challenge. It's about the challenge of motherhood rather than the kind of, you know, the sentimental joys of motherhood, I guess.
It's called The Room. Much of it is set in the room. Is it claustrophobic, or is there sort of great drama enough within the room to be thought-provoking?
One of the interesting things about the film, I think, is that it doesn't play for those kind of genre elements. Although it is obviously claustrophobic, and you're kind of in for much of the first half of the film, you're kind of in the room with them, and you don't, you know, the camera doesn't get to go outside, so you're kind of experiencing life from their vantage, I guess. One of the things that's great about it is it doesn't really go for the sort of cheap, mm-hmm, sort of genre scares, like trying to make it into a horror film or a thriller film. It kind of avoids all that, even though it has got this kind of baddie character in the character, mm-hmm, of Old Nick, who's the man who has kidnapped her and kept her prisoner there for so long. There's a sort of battle between the two, you know. It's like it's all about what it means for them, what's their situation, what it means for their relationship. And that's the focus of the film. And I think that's what makes it so interesting.
Now, Brie Larson has just won a Golden Globe for her performance. Can you remind us of what role she's played in the past and what she brings to this part?
Well, I think the one film that I've seen her in, which I thought was great and really sort of made her stand out for me was Short Term 12. Have you heard of this one? It's a kind of American indie film from, I think, 2012, 2013. And it's about a young offenders institute, I think. But like she works as a kind of care worker. And I think a lot of the work she does in Room, building up a relationship with this young boy, I think the sort of the seeds of that could be seen in a film like Short Term 12, which she was similarly great in. And I think I would expect her to see her in like a kind of, you know, Marvel movie or something like that in the not too distant future. I mean, she's got those kind of, you know, she's got that kind of big star talent to her, like kind of a Jennifer Lawrence or something like that. But she definitely feels like, the, you know, if she won the Oscar this year, which I think she, you know, deserves to, it would be good for everyone.
Well, we'll see how her career flies from there. Room picked up the People's Choice Award at the Toronto International Film Festival last year and has opened in some regions already. It's playing in the UK cinema from today and will reach Australia and South America, amongst other territories, in the next couple of weeks. Let's move on now to The Reverend. This is a tale of survival based on true events as a frontiersman on a fur trading expedition in the 1820s is left for dead by his hunting team. Before we talk about it, let's hear a clip from The Revenant.
Only safe thing to do is track a new course back up on land.
Then what we gonna do? Sit out there like a bunch of goddamn ducks?
You and your half-breed son get to walk on out?
I'm talking to you.
The proper thing to do would be to finish him off quick.
He's to be cared for as long as necessary.
I understand.
And that was a little sound sampler from the film The Revenant, starring Leonardo DiCaprio, who also just won a Golden Globe for his performance. How can we not kick off but to talk about his performance?
It's one of those films where you get to the end of it and you kind of have to applaud it because they make it very, very apparent how much kind of blood, sweat and tears went into this performance.
I mean, tell us a little bit about this kind of trial of endurance.
It's very like macho man's man cinema. It's like braving the elements, getting out there, getting your hands dirty, you know, diving into rivers, eating offal that you've just hunted yourself, cauterizing your own wounds with amateur methods using gunpowder. And it's a real, like, the kind of the idea of it is, you know, this guy who is left for dead in the sort of South Dakota during the sort of end of the 19th century by Tom Hardy's character, and he kind of has this impulse to, you know, met his revenge out on Tom Hardy. And, you know, it's like he kind of wills himself to stay alive against, I mean, saying against all the odds, I almost feel doesn't quite do it justice, because his kind of, you see the details of his survival. They're so, I don't want to say far, I think far-fetched is maybe too strong a word for it, but like they're so outrageous that you kind of think, you know, there is some sort of metaphorical level to the film about kind of human endurance or, you know, our relationship with the wild, I think.
I mean, people have been calling it brutally beautiful. There is a lot of violence, blood, sweat and tears, but there is a lot of beauty. Can you talk about the cinematography?
Well, the cinematographer on the film is Emmanuel Lubezki, who is, he's got every award going. You know, I think all the other cinematographers must be a little fed up of him, actually. He kind of had a bit of a resurgence recently when he worked with Terrence Malick on The Tree of Life and developed a sort of quite a new way of filming just mundane life. And then he since went to work on Gravity, and then he worked on Birdman as well, which was Inarritu's previous film, which is the one that took a single take. And what he does in this film is, although the film isn't just a single take film as Birdman was, it does use that method for like various set pieces. So the opening of the film, I think it's at the opening 10 minutes, there is a sort of siege, a very, very violent siege, which happens in with a single tracking shot. And I think, you know, one of the things that he tries to do with this film is to counterpoint the beauty with the horror. And, you know, while you see these men having their bodies torn apart and the immense suffering that is occurring to them after they've gone through weeks, months of suffering just to get to these places as fur trappers, you know, in the backdrop, you see these kind of wonderful snowy peaks and these, you know, gorgeous giant fir trees, and they're so pristine and beautiful, but they're kind of, you know, in the end, they're the enemy for DiCaprio's character.
And I gather all shot in natural light, which kind of must lend a sort of almost like kind of painterly quality to the,
I guess,
to the
so
light.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't want to say it's like Instagrammy, but it does actually feel like that kind of, you know, gauze put over it or something. Yeah, I think when making the film, Inuritu was very kind of militant about the way it was made and the fact that he didn't want to be using green screen, and he wanted the effects to be real. DiCaprio's character is sort of standing in the middle of a field of snow, and then in the background all of a sudden there's an, like, just apropos of nothing, there's an avalanche, and the camera tilts back and you see the avalanche, and then that's it, and then you come back to DiCaprio and DiCaprio carries on. So you see, you know, it's kind of trying to place the sort of natural beauty in the background, I guess.
Well, 2 hours of cinematography and action and tremendous performance by Leonardo DiCaprio. The Revenant is rolling out in cinemas worldwide throughout January and onwards. Now, we're going to end with a film by the legendary Taiwanese director Ho Sha-shen called The Assassin. In this, we have another abducted young woman who was stolen as a child by a nun who trained her in martial arts. After 10 years, she's released back to her hometown as a trained assassin under the orders that she must kill her betrothed husband-to-be. Let's hear a clip first of The Assassin. A clip from the Taiwanese film The Assassin. Now, this is the first film in 8 years for the award-winning director, Ho Sha-shen. What's he done in the past? And is this some of his best work?
I would say it's up there with his best work. And I think when you before referred to him as a master, I would entirely concur with that epithet. I mean, he really is one of the greatest living filmmakers, in my opinion.
He really is an image maker, isn't he?
Oh, like, absolutely. I mean, some of his films don't tend to be shown that often, and I don't think they're available on DVD, but there's a film called A City of Sadness, which is incredible, and a film called Millennium Mambo, which is great, which he made with the same actor as in The Assassin. And probably the one that you might want to see if you enjoyed The Assassin is Flowers of Shanghai, which is a period film about a brothel, but it's filmed in the most beautiful way. When you make a movie, you have human characters, and, you know, most directors and filmmakers tend to focus on the human characters. They are the film. But I think the way he builds movies, he kind of sees the human characters as part of something bigger, as a broader tapestry. And, you know, and he said in interviews that, like, maybe instead of focusing on the human characters, focus on the curtains, focus on the light, focus on the wind. You know, these are the kind of elements that he likes to play with. And, you know, I think he's looking beyond these films as mere kind of documents of human endeavor. I mean, these are about, you know, a time, a place, an atmosphere.
With this kind of film, the action sequences are very important. Can you talk a little bit about the choreography of the fight scenes?
You could categorize it in the sort of broadest sense as a martial arts movie. There isn't that much fighting that happens in it. And the fighting that does happen is very quick and very, very sudden. He'll film the build up to a fight. That's more interesting to him than the fight itself. I mean, you know, there's a scene that takes place in a forest between Xu Kui, who's the assassin, and another female fighter. And he's kind of more interested in the sort of standoff, in the kind of the way they look at each other, the way they move their feet, the way they're standing, the trees, that, you know, it's all about the mood. I wouldn't go and see, you know, if you like Jackie Chan movies, I think maybe, you know, lower your expectations slightly. But I mean, you know, this is, you know, it is one of the most beautiful films I can remember seeing. I mean,
and a very, very strong female lead. Tell us a little bit about the actress and her performance.
I mean, it's a very kind of enigmatic performance. She, as I say before, she worked in with Ho on a film called Millennium Mambo. And this almost works as, you know, it's quite a similar film. There's no melodrama in his films, and her performance is very kind of stoical, and you have to read it. She doesn't give you anything. You know, her feelings aren't kind of apparent. I mean, you have to sort of find them in the rest of the film. And but she is kind of superb in doing that. And I think he has methods where he'll film a take and he'll just say, no, I didn't feel your essence today. We'll film this again tomorrow. I mean, he doesn't do like repeated takes of the same scene. If he feels that you're not there, if you're not with it, if you're not just at one with nature while the camera's rolling, he'll say, no, we'll leave it. We'll do it again another time.
Well, certainly a film that has won lots of accolades. The Assassin premiered at the Cannes Film Festival last year, where Ho Chau Shen picked up the award for Best Director. It hit Asian cinemas last autumn, but will play on European screens as of this month. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Thanks to my guest, David Jenkins from Little White Lies. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian DeBias. We'll be back at the same time next Monday to review The Week in Art with Charlotte Burns from The Art Newspaper. But for now, goodbye from me and thanks for listening.